back. I don't know. I keep announcing that we're back, even though we've been back for a while.
Whoa, we jumped right into this one today. Holy.
Yeah. Look out, folks. We're back. We've been back. This is our Thursday episode where we let our hair down a little bit and talk about a new movie, which is exciting.
I love letting my hair down. Anybody that knows me, it's my favorite thing in the world to do is just get off of work, take it out of the ponytail, and just let it breathe.
And how much you have to let down. I mean, it is luscious, luscious locks, you know? So we're going to open the bar up. Welcome to the Lomo Lounge. Earlier this week, we discussed Dawn of the Dead, which is funny because we haven't discussed Dawn of the Dead yet. We are recording out of order, but earlier this week you heard us talk about Dawn of the Dead, a movie with a lot to say, and that a movie that, in my opinion, says it pretty well. Of course, you already heard us talk about that. Today we are talking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, a movie that has, it says things, it tries to say things.
I'm wondering if me and you are going to differ on this. Is this one of the rare times where Jimmy and Aaron disagree on a film? Could it be?
I'm very curious. So it's Horror Week. Texas Chainsaw Massacre just came to Netflix. It is a requel, which is funny because today I rewatched this film. And I also rewatched, I just saw Scream, the new film. And the whole thing with Scream is that they always like comment on horror at the time, you know. In the sequel, they go, "Oh, there's like rules to sequels and rules to survive horror movies." So in this one, they specifically talked about requels. And for people who don't know out there, a requel is what they did with this movie. It's what they did with Halloween, even Star Wars. It's like they, you know, it's new characters, but then they bring back legacy characters to kind of support. So it's like half sequel, half reboot. I don't like the term. I think that when I saw the trailer for this, I thought this immediately was just like, I was like, this is gonna be ass, because they're just copying Halloween 2018 where they bring back the final girl from the original movie.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. It's just Leatherface and Sally, right? That's it?
Yep, those are the only two characters that come back. But, like, it's frustrating to me because I don't think – this is a very dumb nitpicky thing. But I don't think anybody else in the franchise ever – I've seen all the Texas Chainsaw movies. I regret to inform you. And I don't think anyone ever calls him – Leatherface. I think that's a name that was made up like outside of the movie to refer to.
That's what I character. Thought too. I, you know, I'm not as well versed in the, you know, the lore that you are, but I have seen these movies before and I don't remember. I thought that was just something that we called them.
Right. As like watchers of the movies, I think. His name was Bubba in the first two movies, the family. So I guess small background, this will just real quick catch everyone up. The chronology of these films is absolutely fucked. It is the most inconsistent, incoherent franchise. Because, like, you watch Halloween, you watch Friday the 13th. Yeah, there's, like, timeline issues. Like, nobody really cares. And, like, nobody cares about this either. But it is insane. Because if you were to watch every Texas Chainsaw movie, he literally has a different family in every original movie. And then you fast forward and Michael Bay does a remake in 2003 and he does a prequel to that. Then you fast forward a little bit and there's Texas Chainsaw 3D, which ignores everything except for the original movie. Then you have Leatherface, which is a prequel film. And these are all different directors, all entirely different directors. So everybody's just has a chance at their story. And then you have this movie, which is also a direct sequel to the original that ignores every other sequel. And by my math, he is at least 67 years old in this. Because he was at least 20 in the original one, that came out in 1974. Well, they
say it's 50 years later. This film is 50 years later from the original movie, is what this says in the tagline.
So then it's got to be, he's got to be at least 70.
Yeah, and he moves around. Yeah, he definitely moves around like a 7-year-old.
He also learns he learned some new tricks for having his saw in the house for 50 years.
Yeah, I know. He just got that started up. Anybody that's ever used any piece of small engine equipment, like a lawn mower, everybody knows they're so easy to start after sitting. But he had no problem. Just 50 years of fuel just sitting in the wall, just ready to go. Yes. No issues.
No issues whatsoever. What were your thoughts? What's your background with Texas Chainsaw Massacre in general?
Casual watcher.
Did you have any expectations going into this?
I didn't. I thought it was going to be terrible, to be honest with you. And I don't know if that opinion was really changed. I have some things to talk about. I'll just start off by saying this movie is its own worst enemy. Like, the way they wrote the story is its success and its downfall all at the same time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I like this movie. I'm shocked to say that I like this movie because I really thought the trailer was pretty bad. And I thought that it looked like it was clearly aping the Halloween 2018 thing. Some benefits to this movie. It is an hour and 12 minutes and then credits. So it is very short. And I would say there are some things in this movie that don't make sense. So you kind of have to expect that going in because that's kind of a horror movie thing. A lot of stuff that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and before we get any further, I did not like the movie.
Okay, perfect. So this will be interesting.
Yeah, I did not like the movie.
I should also say, too, I feel like a lot of times this happens because it's very rare that you and I are like completely opposite sides of the spectrum, because we kind of did something similar in Army of the Dead where I like this movie, but I don't think that this is like a great movie.
I already imagine me and you are going to like the things that we both like and disagree on the things that we disagree on. And it's just the way that we end up deciding it in the...
For sure.
Aftermath of watching this film.
So I guess I would say, because I watched, I played catch up. There were like three of those Texas Chainsaw movies I hadn't seen before this. And even though that the chronology doesn't like connect at all, I wanted to watch them. I wanted to watch them kind of in the order that they were released. So I did watch like three Texas Chainsaw movies before watching this one. And so that may have influenced my opinion a little bit, because the beginning, which is the second Michael Bay one, we talked about this with Casino. It's that thing of the mid-2000s movies, and especially horror movies, where there is just such a color grading to the film that is like not fun to look at. And it carries on to Leatherface, I think, too. Like, all of these movies, it's probably my least favorite horror franchise, to be honest, because it's just not fun. Like, I feel like the first Texas Chainsaw movie is genuinely one of the most disturbing, brutal mainstream horror movies I've ever seen. Like, the second half of it is like almost dialogueless. It's just like screaming.
Yeah.
And it really bothers me. I mean, it strikes a nerve. Like, it is a very disturbing movie. And so I think that the best thing, I don't think any Texas Chainsaw movie can top that, like that sheer brutalism. So the best thing they can do is like something weird or different, which is what my favorite sequels are. The second one is like a weird black comedy slapstick kind of thing. And The Next Generation, which has Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger in it. That one has his family being a group of like secret society people that get off on people suffering. So like, I think that you just kind of have to, you can't try to do the same thing the original movie does. You just have to like do something totally bonkers for it to even work. And that's my biggest issue with these movies, is that so often it's like, oh, we're back in Texas. Oh, there's a bunch of hillbillies. Yeah. Oh, there's a creepy gas station that's all dusty. Like, that's just the same shit.
So I just, so in these films, is Texas Chainsaw the horror franchise that has the most movies but really never goes anywhere out of all of them? I feel like the majority of them at least have like a 1, 2, or 3.
Right.
But, and then the remakes will do like a 1, 2, 3, and at least, but this one, Texas Chainsaw, at least for me, there's a lot of films and we never get anywhere. It's kind of just a different.
It always restarts. Yeah. It always restarts. It's like a new whatever, which is like almost itself kind of a cool idea if it did, if those movies did different things from each other. But I think too often it is just the same thing. Oh, there's a dead armadillo in the road there in Texas.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia appearances. So Leatherface, Bubba Jr., Jebediah Sawyer, Thomas Brown Hewitt, and Mama, Grandfather / Mama Sawyer are the only ones that are in every single film.
Jebediah, that's because I think that what you just read off is literally his list of names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's all Leatherface.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, is that Leatherface, right, and Grandfather Sawyer and Mama are the only ones that are in all of the films.
Yeah.
Everyone else is different. There's different characters, different families in all of them.
And so it's just kind of weird. Like, I don't know if anyone's, you know, tried to, like, at this point, it's almost a hallmark that these movies don't go anywhere. I mean, even Michael Bay's remake or whatever, the second one goes straight to DVD, you know, and that was a successful movie. Like, even if I don't think it's a good movie, but the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot was at like right at the forefront of like horror reboots in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like strange that a sequel to that with the same crew behind it, the same producers and stuff, wouldn't get a theatrical run.
I'm trying to remember, you know, which one was my I really liked one of them, and I don't know if it was, maybe it was the 2003 one.
That one maybe has not. Jessica Biel in it.
I don't know. I just remember that there was one Texas Chainsaw that I really, and it might have even been the 1986 one. It could have just been the second one of the.
Did it have did it have our friend Arlie Ermey in it? Do you remember him being the sheriff? Because no, he's in the two Michael not. Bay films.
I think, because I'm looking now, there was a bunch of corpses, and right here, there's the Sawyers are corpses in Massacre 2, so I think that was the one that I liked.
Yeah, that one's got Bill Moseley in it. It's super goofy and a very strange movie. Dennis Hopper's in it. It's very, very good.
Dennis Hopper also in Space Truckers.
A movie that we will be perhaps covering soon in a new show. A new medium. We'll see. Stay tuned for more about that. All right, so all of that kind of put behind us. I mean, it seems like we're both, I would also call myself a casual fan, even though I have the first like four, like I own the DVDs or whatever. I don't, again, this is kind of pretty low on my list of horror franchises. So let's get into what didn't work for you. And I'm curious to see if I'll agree with what didn't work for me.
The story and the way they developed the lack of development with the characters. I really did not like how they opened the movie. I thought it was too drawn out. I thought the gas station scene was pointless. They could have easily started this film right when the teenagers get pulled over. I think that would have been a better way to start the film, is them coming in, you know, that road and having the cops stop them and being like, are you sure? They didn't need all of that dialogue in the beginning. That really didn't help us out at all. We hear a lot of them talking about this new society that they want to build, and that's quickly thrown out the window. There's not much more on it besides just an easy excuse to get a bunch of people like in this town. And I feel with that and some other things, the writing was lazy. They could have easily, I think there was the way that they killed certain people didn't make sense. When they killed Hitch there, I think his name's Hitch, the Texan.
Yeah.
So they develop a kind of lackluster almost love story with the sister, where not a love story, but they built kind of a understanding and a relationship. And but like yet,
rapport.
Yeah, but then yet the kill happens in front of her sister. And just certain continuity with the kills didn't make sense. I mean, we see people get sawed in half and instantly die, but yet Sally stays alive for presumably 30 minutes after she's sawed in half to hit him with a shotgun. And every time somebody has a gun pointed at him, they can't shoot him. Every time. Yeah, it is the most convenience that I've ever seen, and the just laziness on the writing is one of the things that I didn't like. Now, there are some things I do like.
He's a large target as well. You know, he's not hard to miss.
Yeah, it just seemed lazy, or they just wrote themselves into too many corners and had to figure out a way out.
I would say, too, it's interesting to watch this back-to-back with the new Scream film, because something that my brother and I both really liked and commented on about the Scream movies today is that the killer is not, like, supernaturally strong or anything. It's always, like, a regular person, and they're clumsy, which is, like, one of the best parts about it. I mean, especially in the first two movies, but even in this new one, he's attacking someone. They, like, can push him against the wall with a table to, like, buy them time. I mean, like, he's, like, a normal person. And I think that, you know, that is something that's makes the stakes a little bit higher. Sally's thing is definitely a bad. My brother and I were like, well, it actually happened several times during both movies where we were like, that person got stabbed like 9 times. How are they still kicking? But with her, I mean, her insides were soup.
I am a strong believer. You can do whatever you want in a film, but the only thing that I care about is play by your own rules.
Right.
That's it. Do whatever you want. I will suspend disbelief. I don't care. Just play by your own rules.
Yeah. I do like that it did to me, and this, you know, this actually might be a byproduct of lazy writing in a weird way that worked for me, but I like that she was not that impactful in the story. Like, you know, in Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis comes back and she is like doomsday prepper level, you know, she literally has like the same line that they stole.
Which I'm glad, like, they didn't make Sally like that, because it would have just been a complete ripoff of the new Halloween.
And I think to me, it felt almost like a red herring, and maybe I'm giving him too much credit. Maybe it was just like lazy writing, but I like that she comes back to be a badass and then just gets like pretty quickly just gets sawed through the stomach. I do disagree with the gas station scene. I thought it was interesting to open with the true crime television program kind of talking about what happened. And I do agree with it being a way to just get people the plot. So, all right. I agree with your gripes about like the plot and setting, but I also think that the setting rocks. And
oh, I have nothing against the setting. I think the setting's cool.
I think it's like lazy writing that I'm willing to forgive, because I really like the ghost town thing, and I like that there's just a bus full of people for him to like roll through with a chainsaw. Scream, similar. Sorry to keep telling people about it. No spoilers or anything, but it's the kind of thing where there's a girl in the hospital, and suddenly there's just no one there except her. And you're like, where's the staff? Like, where's everybody in this hospital? Apparently nobody works here at night. It's just, you know, and that's kind of the same thing here, where there's a lot of, like you said, convenience.
I definitely like the setting. I think the setting's cool. My only gripe is just the big bus of fish that they brought in to the pond so people could fish. If it's just like, it's all, it was like, oh man, how do we make this really cool movie? Oh, just bust them in, it'll make sense.
I just, it works for me just from a slasher fan standpoint of just like, you wait for that scene kind of thing that he's gonna make his way through. But I think more so some weird elements to this that I've seen a lot of people talk about, because this I've seen more people not like this than like it. I'd say polarizing for sure. I've seen some people say the politic thing is like terrible, and that's what I'm curious about too, is like really bizarre way to introduce politics to a film franchise that the closest Texas Chainsaw should ever come to politics is this idea of gentrification. It's the one part of the movie that works for me because
what is so polarizing with the politics though? I don't think it was.
A lot of people took issue with this idea that like this girl's background was that she survived a school shooting, it doesn't really say much about it. But then by the end of the movie, she's like come around to guns in order to defeat Leatherface.
How is that political though?
in my opinion, I think that's more story arc, and it's actually one of the only story arcs in the movie that makes sense.
I would agree with you on that. That upsets me that people are like, I don't understand why they throw politics into it. It's like, it builds that character. Thank you. We understand a character's backstory. I would like to know more about the other characters.
Right, exactly.
We're going to save it for the end because we're going to reveal how this movie ends, but the ending pissed me off.
Yeah, the ending is wild. My brother was also very upset. Well, I'll get to the gentrification thing in a second because it actually really works for me. But the other weird thing is the Confederate flag thing, which I don't even think it could have been there. It could have not been there. It was inconsequential. There's no real reason for it to happen other than like it makes sense for how old the town was and these like this new generation of people coming in, but it didn't like do anything to reflect on any of the characters really. Like, it's not like I thought the old lady was like, the old lady was an old lady, you know what I mean?
I think it gave them reason to go into the house. It made sense,
right?
The flag gave Dante and them a reason to go in there and, you know, have about that first, you know, that first encounter. I think that was smart. You know, I don't have any issues with that, I don't think.
So, I think I recently watched, there's a documentary on Shudder called The Dark and the Wicked or something like that. It's like 3 hours long. It's a very long documentary with a very long title, but it is amazing. I would highly recommend breaking it up into two settings and watching it. It's all about folk horror. So it's like, you know, things that have to do with nature and sometimes spells, or sometimes it's just like man versus the land or nature or whatever. And so that's the one thing where this really, really works for me. And I wish the writing was better to support it, because it's the one angle that I really, really like about this movie, is that even with good intentions, you have these people, and it's the same as the original. You have these people that are like city folk coming into and essentially infecting this area that until then was rural and was like an area that, you know, belonged to these people who were there first.
Mm-hmm.
And it is this thing of like, again, they have good intentions, but they come in and the idea is that they're changing everything. They kill, you know, like, you don't, as much as you don't want to feel sympathetic for Leatherface, the idea in this movie is that he, which also doesn't work or make sense, but the idea is that he apparently massacred a bunch of people 50 years ago and then hung it up and said never again, and lived in an orphanage for 50 years and then, you know, just to bring the saw out of retirement, which is kind of strange. But it is this thing of like, these people come in and they kill his mom and they change, they're changing the town, and he looks outside and there's suddenly, it's like this place he had to himself with this person that he loved is now overrun with these yuppie people that are blasting music and, you know, took his mom away from him, essentially, you know. That works for me.
I think it does too, and I will say it here, is if they would have tightened the story up and developed it, maybe, I hate to say it, maybe it could have afforded to be a little bit longer to tighten up some things and really make you invested in these characters. And I get it. It's a slasher film. It's not meant to do that either, but just having a little bit of backstory, so when the killing starts, you actually feel for him, because I didn't care at all once the killing started. I could care less that it was happening. I didn't feel invested in any of the characters. I, you know, when they were dying, I was like, yeah, whatever. And just a little bit more, I think it probably would have been one of the best movies I watched all year if they would have just tightened the story up a little bit.
You give this movie 15 minutes of good exposition scenes to support the characters, you still have a movie that's under an hour and a half, and I think that it is more successful at what it's trying to do. I think that I felt for the... I think I rooted for the sisters, and I also think I rooted for the Diesel-loving
gun. I liked him.
Because you come around to him. But everyone else, it doesn't matter. You know, they're like you said, even the people that aren't on the bus are there for just kind of fish in a barrel, you know, stuff. The two characters that die first, Dante and his
fiance.
His fiance, whose name I don't even remember.
I only know because I'm literally looking at the character list right now. Her name's Ruth.
Yeah. You don't care about those characters really at all. I will say, there's some things in this, you know, I think we're going to probably transition here to our positives, which is like, I really think some of the kills are good, especially the very first kill where he snaps one of the police officer's arms in the back of the police van and stabs him with his own like compounded fracture.
That was the best kill I've seen in a long time.
Gnarly. It's so crazy. That was really good. And then it is, I think visually, it's an interesting and a cool scene where it's like they spend a lot of time in that field. You get some aerial shots, you get some shots of the van. She, you know, Ruth wakes up and she can see him doing something through the mirror. And when she realizes that he cut off his mom's face and he like holds it up in the light, and it's like, you know, that kind of stuff definitely worked for me. Later on too, when Sally gets to the field and she finds the mom's body like propped up, but it's missing its face. That was a very good, scary visual. Although they call Sally during the day, she's presumably in the same town, and she doesn't get into the fields until until nighttime, which is very bizarre. My brother pointed that out as well.
I the kills are what's making me go that I just don't like it. If it wasn't for the kills and how well they were done, I probably would have hated this movie. Yeah. But the kills, and I mean, let's just cut through it. Let's just get to it. That bus scene was cool as hell.
Bus scene is very cool as hell. This is a perfect time for me to pause because I need to charge my laptop. So I'm just going to move my whole operation downstairs. You can keep recording if you want to. Give me 2 seconds. Awesome. We're back, folks. You don't even know that we took a break. All magic there.
An episode where you get to hear Aaron say we're back twice. Who would have thought?
Yeah. We're back. There's 3 for you. Yes, the bus scene. So this is when I saw the trailer for this, they just showed. All right. The bus scene's amazing. But what you have to understand is when you watch a trailer for a Texas Chainsaw movie and you have no context and all you see is Leatherface on a party bus and a guy with his cell phone filming him saying, try anything and you're canceled, bro. When I saw that clip, I was like, I'm going to kill myself. I was like, this looks like the worst thing I have ever seen in my life.
I'm going to be honest with you. If I would have saw that trailer, I wouldn't have watched this film. I wouldn't have watched it. That sounds awful.
Yeah, it was baffling. It winds up being just the highlight of the movie, obviously, because you got a Leatherface with a saw in the party bus, tearing through a bunch of young people. And it's like, it's, you know, they try to make it a little bit impactful because the main character there went through the school shooting. And so she's like, you know, giving these flashbacks of people being injured and killed. But at the same time, it's very funny because you just see Leatherface, like, at one point, it's like a slow motion shot of him just, like, pulling someone's arm off and, like, you know, throwing his saw through somebody. He's killing two people at a time. He nearly cuts a guy in half. He does cut a girl in half who's like trying to escape through the window, the girl from the bank.
I did like that. That was good.
That was good. And then he does the, they hide in the bathroom and, he cuts a hole in the door and then she stabs him with the corkscrew that she got at the gas station earlier to buy them some time. We did skip over a very important part of the film.
No, we didn't.
And that is the part where the girl gets covered in shit, gets covered in Leatherface poo.
I forgot all about that.
She, so to recap the deaths here, what was the contractor's name? Richter?
Richter. Yep.
Richter. So he has a good death scene. He has his leg broken, which is nuts. And then, he has his face pushed. There's a shard of glass in the window. Leatherface shoves his head into it. And then later on, Richter's able to get the keys out and give them to the girl hiding under the bed before he has his skull caved in.
Dante getting half his face sawed off. That was, and then the sheriff and deputy getting killed in the opening, the first kill, were yes. My favorites.
So then we have, the sister is in the house and she is trying to escape and be as quiet as she can. And this is like definitely the highlight of the movie. It's like, not on the level of John Wick, but it's as if Leatherface has, it's like he's the John Wick of movie horror movie villains, because he throws like a hammer at her with enough strength that she falls backwards into the floorboards. And under the house, he's sawing through the floor, which I do like scenes like that. Like I do like scenes where somebody's like behind a wall and there are things, coming out. Mm-hmm. They don't know where it's going to happen. Although the saw's coming right at her and there's plenty of room for her to roll to her right or her left. Just out of the way. But she just keeps backing up. And the saw goes through a sewer line. And she just gets hosed. I mean, she gets to get doused in
without any issue. That 50-year-old saw just ripped right through that sewer line.
Yeah, my brother's like, I'm not a power tool expert, but I don't think that that would cut that quickly.
We need to bring a power tool expert onto the show. I need to hear what's going on.
The podcast is all about this one movie now for the foreseeable future. So the bus scene's great. And then, this movie moves, efficiently, quickly. We don't usually cover plots, but this is kind of how the kills work and stuff. And we're getting to the ending where Leatherface is... There's a back and forth pretty much between one of the sisters and Leatherface. And then the other sister shows up and it's 2-on-1. They end up shooting him. They learn that guns are good. The only person that can stop Leatherface is a good guy with a gun. And they shoot him. They push him into the they shoot him and he falls into this like puddle lake formation that's in this abandoned building. And he presumably drowns, but they always come back. We know that from Scream. And at the end of the film, the sisters drive off into the sunset, quite literally, with a song that's playing in the beginning of the film, which I did think was funny and kind of a nice touch. And then as they're driving away, he's back, baby, and he just pulls the one girl through the window, and the other girl, I think they're in a Tesla, and it's self-driving, which is funny. The other girl is, like, through the sunroof. She's watching her sister, and Leatherface takes no time to just cut this girl's head off. And I thought it was a dream sequence. The whole time I was like, this is a PTSD thing because she survived the school shooting. She had these like episodes and now she survived this thing. And she's going to have like a moment where she blinks and her sister's still there. But they just offer. And they just,
there was no reason to do that. There was no reason to do that. It makes me so mad because it was just like the directors and the writers were like, you want to know something? Fuck you.
Yeah, I think, let me tell you, buddy, I don't hate it. Because I think that at a certain point, this movie just started giving me what I wanted. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to ignore all of the shit that doesn't work or make sense, and I'm just gonna enjoy.
Good for you. The fact that I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you, bud. I'm glad.
They're gonna kill as many people as they can, and on top of it, it's almost. What I can't figure out, I guess, is whether this movie is self-aware. Because to some extent, I think it is. Like, the idea that this girl, you know, the gentrifier, the person from the city, you know, good intentions and all, but the fact that this person's last scene as they watch their sister be decapitated is, like, she's, like, screaming out of the sunroof of an automatic driving Tesla. Is to me that's like two. That's almost two on the nose. Like it should be like.
But she's not the gentrifier though. She just happened to come along for the ride. Her sister, that got her head taken off, was the one that was trying to gentrify the community.
But I think she's still culpable. I mean, I'm not saying I personally, you know, would say I'm not here to judge whether her character is good or bad because I think again her intentions were. Good, and she didn't even want to be there.
Yeah,
but the idea is that thing of like it doesn't matter. It's a thing in horror movies a lot of times with final girls where it's like the final girl is the person that doesn't have premarital sex, isn't the person that gets drunk or smokes weed. The final girl is the person that abstained from all of that kind of thing, and they're still being tormented by this ruthless killer. Yeah. So to some extent, I think it's like. Silly and kind of knows that it's being silly, but I agree with you that there is zero logic or story drive. There's nothing. There's no reason for it to happen. They just said, you know what? let's reshoot that ending real quick. Do we still have that prosthetic head?
They were like, we're using every cent of this $20 million budget. Which, crazy enough, this film had the budget of the first five of them, or four of them combined.
That is crazy to think about. I mean, the set is what's interesting to me, because the set, being this ghost town, I'm like, you know, how many of these buildings are actual buildings, or some of these just like...
Just fronts.
Props. Right, like, I really don't know. I think it made for a cool setting. I think that this is the best Texas Chainsaw sequel outside of the original four movies, but that bar is so low, like so low. I mean, there's no way this movie, I would give this movie like a 3 out of 5 if we were going to put a rating on it. And that's just because I liked it and I had a good time. I don't think that it's, I mean, it's probably more realistically for me like a 2.5 out of 5 or something, but I had a good time. Jimmy's saying 2.
I'll give it a 2 out of 5.
That's fair. I think I gave Crank a 2 out of 5. So this is just where our heads are at sometimes. But it made for a good episode. Like it's interesting movie to talk about. You know, we don't talk about a lot of movies that we're really that polarized on. I think what people are gonna be interested in when they hear the episode before this one that we have yet to record is just how tactfully like Dawn of the Dead is able to put in themes of like consumerism and like
yeah all those things that we definitely talked about already
without being insanely on the nose all those things that we already recorded in the episode that you've already heard. You know, that movie was able to do social commentary without it, like, people being mad about it. Because these days, it's like, if you put a single relevant topic in your movie, people are just fuming. They're like, I can't fucking believe this movie decided to... Leatherface is clearly Trump. Oh, God.
I'm so bad.
Just foaming at the mouth.
I'm so bad.
So... This is going to be interesting because we have to decide whether to let them into the bar or not. I think that we should just let Leatherface in himself just as like a legacy character for all of the films that he's given us, for better or for worse, and deny everyone else entry.
Yeah, I'm going to let Leatherface in only because I think M. Night got back in 2 out of the vents, so I'm going to have him hunt him down.
We need him to just flail his saw through the ceiling, you know, without rhyme or reason to try to hopefully get him out of there. I do like, he does do, at the end, I guess the one reason you could have for him removing the head of the sister is that he does the little Leatherface dance he does in the original movie, where he spins around. He does like a victory dance the way characters do in like Mario Kart when they win. He's like you could have just put in a soundbite of Mario going like "Wahoo!" while he like throws his saw around and he's so happy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, not the best movie we've watched, not the worst one. But a movie,
I guess the one thing you could say about this that you couldn't say about the worst movies we've watched is that it's not boring.
Yeah, it's like, not a part of the Conjuring franchise, so at least
you're not going to be like, oh, fuck, I spent 2 hours watching that and nothing happened. Like, you're going to be like, oh, I spent an hour and, like, half of the time I got to see some really good kills.
Yeah, it's not going to be the worst movie you watch this year, trust me.
We're still on a mission to find the worst movie that we watch this year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure it out. Speaking of which, we got movies to watch next week, and I don't know what they are. So why don't you thank our patrons?
I will.
Why don't you take a second to thank our patrons, and I will pull up the schedule so that we can announce next week.
I got a couple things to thank. If you're not following us on our YouTube channel yet, our main YouTube channel, it's Lomo Media, just Lomo. Thank you to all the 6 new subscribers we got. And thank you for everyone who's watched our most recent sketch. And just a reminder that we do post a new video every Friday on this main channel. And if you'd like to support that content, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/LomoMedia. You can join Dylan Painter and Tyler Buckley for as little as $4.99 a month. That goes to directly support us and our dream of becoming full-time content creators and filmmakers as well. So we can get the funding to make our own Texas Chainsaw Massacre that Aaron deeply, deeply wants to do.
It's true. That's all I had to say. It's true. You know, if you could join the Patreon, that would be sick. If you can't join the Patreon, that's okay. Thanks for listening. You know, do us a favor, share the episode if you enjoyed it. Let us know what you thought of the movie online. Shoot us a tweet or something or a message. Let us know if you agree with me or Jeremy specifically, or if you agree with the things we liked or didn't like. Let us know what you thought. Give us your Texas Chainsaw rankings, you know. You could tell a friend about the show. That helps us out. And you could also leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts that I could then read on air. That would help us out, too. So if you could do any of those things, if you like the show, that would be super helpful for us. Next week, we are going to be watching, now I'm trying to remember, what are your 2 worst movie picks?
Knowing and the other one.
And which one did we decide was the worst of the 2? Knowing and Devil.
I think Devil is worse than Knowing.
So we're going to watch Knowing next week. And then we are going to watch, it's Jimmy week, because we have some more new movies on the way. There's a few actually that I've scheduled for us to cover this season. But you specifically wanted to watch and talk about War Dogs. So next week we are going to be watching and covering Knowing with Nicolas Cage, as well as War Dogs with Miles Teller and Jonah Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jimmy week, folks.
It's Jimmy week.
Blame him.
It only happens at... Oh, Craig left.
What happened? Did he quit?
Craig, no.
Now recording.
You're going to have to fire this bear.
Your shift wasn't done. We did get cut off by an employee. But that's okay. We are just here. We were at the end of the stage anyways. We were talking about knowledge and War Dogs, and that's it. I don't have anything else to add.
I don't either. Just thank you to everybody that is new, that's listening to this podcast for the first time. Thank you, everybody who subscribed to our YouTube channel. A special thanks to Film, to Film Core Digital. You can catch him on YouTube. Also, the Film Core Cast. So, you know, great partner to Lomo Media. So check them out as well. And yeah, just a huge thanks. And also to... We either announced or we are in the process of announcing our new Twitch channel and some new cool stuff going on over there. So check out our Facebook and social medias for more.
Yeah. As Jimmy said, it may have happened already or it may be happening soon, but we have a bunch of new content coming out. Like new, not just in the sense that it's new content, but like new kinds of content. So we're going to be trying some new things. We're going to have some friends participating in some games with us and just talking about some things. So definitely check out the Twitch channel. Keep an eye on social media. It's the best way to keep up with us. And you know, check out the YouTube channel as well. We had a new sketch that came out this week as well. But I was gonna say we had our first new sketch came out last week, and it's doing better than any of our sketches in the past have within the first week of posting. So if you watched that or shared that, we really appreciate that. If you haven't, maybe go give it a look, and if you like it, you know, feel free to share. But we've got new sketches coming every Friday, so lots to look forward to. Thank you again for listening, and next week we will be back with Knowledge and War Dogs. Until then,
Knowing.
Kept saying Knowledge. Look, I'm not going to tell anybody to get out of the bar, but with M. Night Shyamalan and Leatherface in here, like, just running around nilly-willy, I would highly recommend getting out of the bar.
But be careful, because Pesci's hiding behind the dumpster still, so...
God, this place is just infested with villains.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Have a good weekend.